Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and as soon as both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners James, John, and the sons of Zebedee were also amazed. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter is a fisherman. He was a fisherman before he was one of Christ's disciples. And he and his crew would have used three-layered nets called trammel nets to catch tilapia. To this day, the locals call tilapia St. Peter's fish. They fished only at night because at daylight, the fish could actually see the nets and swim around them. So these men worked the night shift. Before fishermen turned in for the day, they had to wash and dry their nets thoroughly, because if they didn't, their nets would rot and they would have to replace them, which was very expensive. A fisherman's life was tough. He had to row from site to site, pulling up heavy catches of fish at every site. And they often had to dive into dark seas to release a net that had been caught on the rocks or seaweeds. Ancient fishermen were toned, their minds sharp, their spirits unbreakable. It's no wonder that Jesus called fishermen to be his disciples. These guys were gritty. Their bodies were soaking wet most of the time, no matter what season it was. In this text that we read just now, it is the winter season. Winter in Israel is the rainy season. Cold, needle-like rain pounded all night long on these fishermen out on the seas. There was no such thing as rubberized rain gear in those days. You got skin, you waterproof. From the gospel accounts, we read that Jesus arrives at the beach as the fishermen are calling it a night. Here is where we find Simon Peter. He's worked all night, it's cold, it's dark, and it's probably raining. He has caught exactly zero fish. Even though he's dead tired, he is washing out his nets on the beach. He has to. Behind his back, Jesus gets in his boat, and he tells him to row back out, and he starts to teach from the shallow waters. Peter's patience is thin because he's way past tired. He's shivering, and he's hungry. He's been ordered back to work even though his nets have already been washed, and now they're going to have to be washed again. Then Jesus commands him to row deeper and causes there to be an enormous catch. The entire crew is shocked. There will be no fish found during the night because fishing is supposed to be done in the daylight. Nobody else is out there fishing, just these crazy guys and Jesus. But the haul is obscenely huge in the daylight. Transparent trammel nets weren't introduced into the Middle East until 1950. Therefore, trammel net fishing was only done at night. In the daytime, as I said, the fish could see those nets and swim right around them. Part of the miracle that day was that fish swam blindly into these nets when they could see them plain as day. In addition, when people trammel fished back then, they would bang on things to make a loud noise and it would disorient the fish and they would panic and scramble into the unseeable nets. But in this text, no noise seems to be made. It was just silent. That's another part of this miracle. Now, Jesus is not unaware of how fatigued the fishermen are from working all night. He's not unaware of how frustrated they are because they've caught nothing. He knew all they wanted to do is go home and go to bed. He knew they were running figures in their heads because they had lost a day's full pay. There would be a deficit in the checkbook. It was going to be a week of ramen noodles. But Jesus blessed them, not with just one night's income, but many nights' income with the amount of fish that they pulled in. It is estimated that that night's catch weighed about 1,500 pounds. That would be about what they could catch in 2 weeks. Jesus calls Simon Peter off the beach, past the shallows, and into deep waters. Jesus is still calling his followers off the beach, past the shallows, and into the deep. Jesus interrupts our routines and our schedules. He disrupts our lives. He breaks in and forces us out of our comfort zones. Jesus calls the comfortable to a life of service. He calls the safety seeker to a life of danger. He calls the shallow end wader into the depths. When we resist and refuse to go deep in our faith with Christ, we miss out on all the amazing things that he wants to do. When Jesus said, "Go deep," Peter balked at first and then relented. Because Peter and his crew went deep, they caught so many fish that their nets began to break. When they managed to pull the fish on board, the boats threatened to sink. Had Peter continued to resist, if he continued to stay in the beach, he would have missed out on the miracle that was going to happen only in deep waters. Jesus is calling us into the deep. He calls us to leave our sandcastles on the beach. He calls us to quit skipping rocks in the shallow end. We look up and we see that the deep is very scary. It's not our natural turf. It is uncertain in the deep. It's uncomfortable out there. It's choppy out there. Yet this is where Jesus is calling us. Jesus called his disciples out of their comfort zones, the safety of the shore, and off they went. The disciples were asked to do something different than what they'd always done. They always fished at night. They never fished during the day. We become so attached to the tried and true, even when it has long ago stopped working, because we are creatures of habit. We want to be safe. We want to be in our comfort zone. And what's our favorite motto as human beings? We've always done it this way. We surround ourselves with the things that make us comfortable, and we stick with the familiar. In a way, we are like zebras. Zebras are familial animals, and they live in community groups. They graze together and move around together. They sleep standing up against each other, and they clump together as a defense against hyenas and lions. The safest place to be in a herd of zebras is smack dab in the middle. It's hard to attack you if you're in the middle. But there's a few gutsy zebras out there who prefer the outer fringes of the herd. Zebras who live on the outside of the herd know there's always a chance that a lion could pounce and attack them and kill them. But living on the outside means the quality of life is better. The grass is better. The breezes are cooler. And you're the first one to make it to a watering hole. Zebras who stay in the middle of the herd, the inside zebras, the safe zebras, are scared. They're skittish creatures. They don't want to be eaten by a lion, so they cower around hundreds of their closest friends. Well, it's a good strategy to stay alive. But the inside zebras tend to be thin and gaunt. The grass they graze on has been trampled on by hundreds of other zebras. The comfort, certainty, and safety in the middle of the herd is not always the best option for a fulfilling life. We're like them in so many ways. We think safety is our best option, that staying in the middle is the best ground to stand on. In the last 5 years, people with ignoble intentions have used our desire to be safe against us. While we were busy trying to be safe and comfortable, we lost more than we know. We should never choose safety over obedience or faith. Obedience is uncomfortable. Faith is dangerous. It gets us in deep waters. C.S. Lewis said this, "If you want a religion to make you feel comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. God can't be our protector if we never do anything dangerous. The phrase in deep water means something negative. I'll wager not one of us in here today hasn't been in deep water or in over our heads at some point. I can't count the times I've thought to myself, I am in over my head. I am in too deep. You might be thinking, that's right, lady. I'm in over my head too. I'm in deep water. It isn't a good feeling. It's threatening. It feels unsafe. However, when it comes to the spiritual life, going deep is an essential step. It's a necessary risk. We must go deep. When Jesus said to Peter, go deep, he protested. But Jesus insisted, go deep. The way of Jesus is not a walk on the beach or wading through the shallow end. The way of Jesus is not content with the status quo. It does not always coincide with conventional wisdom. It goes deeper than that. In April of 2012, two teenage boys from Michigan went deep when a car crashed and started on fire. They were 17 years old, these two kids, Cody Decker and Luke Vaughn. They were out late at night, and at almost 1 o'clock in the morning, they were driving to get back to the condo they were vacationing in. And as they were driving, they saw a Jaguar speeding past them, and seconds later, they heard a violent crash. Well, the car had hit two trees and split in half. So they quickly called 911, and as they're on the phone with 911, Cody and Luke are running to the scene, and they get there just in time to see the car start on fire. The driver's name was Carlos Adams, and his passenger was Tracy Lopez. They were trapped inside this burning car. Luke and Cody decided there was no time to wait for the fire department to get there, so they broke out the window, bent the door frame, and they were able to move the trapped couple to safety. They pulled out Miss Lopez to safety in short order because she was easier to get out, but Mr. Adams was another story. He was stuck in there good, and they had seconds, literally seconds. Cody was still on the phone with 911 the whole time, and the dispatcher heard as they frantically worked to free Mr. Adams just seconds before the car exploded. Cody and Luke were not wrong about waiting. If they had done the safe thing and waited for the fire department to arrive, the couple in the car would have burned to death. Mr. Adams and Miss Lopez were in critical condition, and Mr. Adams was significantly worse off than Miss Lopez, but they were both alive. And after months of hospitalization and rehab, they both went on to live their lives. Cody and Luke were treated for minor cuts and burns to their hands. The sheriff recognized the boys for their bravery, and the fire department offered both of the boys jobs. All of this because Cody and Luke didn't play it safe. They didn't stay in the shallow end. They went deep. They were not shallow end waders. They jumped into the dangers of the deep. Jesus is calling each one of us into the deep seas of faith. It is in the deep where lives are saved, just like the lives in that car crash that day in 2012. It is in the deep that miracles of the heart occur. It isn't comfortable or certain in the deep. It certainly isn't safe in the deep. We can get hurt in the deep. Sometimes when we are in the deep, we want to rush to the surface and swim for the beach. But the way to true spiritual development, maturity, and blessings is to stay in the deep. We are called into the deep because that's where people are despairing. They're dying a little every day. The deep is where people are drowning in addictions, self-defeating behavior, poverty, injustice, heartache, and crippling sins. Jesus says, get out of the shallow end. Go deep. Rescue those people. Jim and I were called into the deep to rescue our grandchild from a lifetime of misery. Thinking about raising a baby at our age was daunting. I remember saying, just before this happened, and I do mean just before it happened, the last thing I ever want to do again is chase some nutty little three-year-old around McDonald's Playland. Famous last years, right? We'll be really old by the time Vivi reaches 18. I can't do the math, but I'm going to be old. I'm going to be really old, and Jim's going to be older than that. But if we stayed there in the safe place and said, let the foster system have her, that's a safe play, and then just hope for the best. But we are called into the deep. Jesus don't care how old we are. He said, get out there and get that baby. And we did. And thank the Lord, we have a good backup. Zeb was called into the deep with us. He's her guardian. I don't know if everybody knows that, but if Jim and I can't finish raising her, Zeb will take her. Zeb has said that should another beautiful woman come into his life, she will have to know that he comes with a child. He's like a single dad. That's responding to the deep. When you're called to the deep, that's what happens. And Jesus said to Peter, go deep. I don't know if you realize this or not. He's in the boat with Peter. Remember, he's in the boat too. We know because of the plural nouns used in the language, this text, that there were other guys in the boat too. Now, a trammel boat is manned by four men. It can't take another man. Four is the limit. You can have two, you can have three, you can have four, you cannot have five. So Jesus is one of the four in Simon Peter's boat. And he was part of the crew because of the simple fact that he's in the boat. Everybody in the trammel boat worked, period. That's how it went. So Jesus helped pull in that catch. This illustrates to us that when we are in the deep, Jesus is there. He is helping us. We are not in the deep alone. Thank God when we go into the deep, we go with Jesus. It is in the deep where the greatest victories are accomplished. Go deep is something that the quarterback usually tells a receiver before he throws a bomb in his direction. Like Tom Brady. Now, I'm not a football person, so I had to YouTube some scenes of Tom Brady throwing a really long pass to some guy at the end. It's amazing. I don't appreciate football, but I could appreciate that. That's amazing. Going deep is risky. The ball could be intercepted, dropped, or missed completely. It could be overthrown or underthrown. But going deep is the best bet in getting a touchdown. Friends, nothing great is ever going to be accomplished on the beach. Even if you do manage to build a sandcastle, it'll be destroyed by the tide. Nothing meaningful happens in the shallow end. Much of what God accomplishes in our lives happens in the deep. Jesus calls each one of us to go deep. My friends, go deep with Jesus, and he will be there with you.